So, dear brothers and sisters, I remember one occasion I was down in Naples. I was doing a bit of mission work down there. And this lady who had come to Mass every day, she'd been coming to Mass for as long as I was there anyway, probably long before. She came to me with her husband, who she brought along somewhat kicking and screaming. He was a little reluctant to be there. So she came over to me with her husband and she said to me, tell him. And I said, but I'm all ears. What seems to be the problem? And she said, tell him. She was poking him and telling him and pushing him. And he said, could I maybe... she wants me to go to confession. And then she stood there all kind of proud, you know, big kind of a smile on her face. Now, he said it, now. And I said, do you want to go to confession? He goes, eh, meh. And she said, of course you do. Go to confession. And I said, thank you, yeah, okay. I said, we'll just have a little chat. We'll be back to you. So I brought him over to the side. And I said, do you want to go to confession? And he said, meh. And I said, okay, can I ask when we at confession last? And he said, Padre, you don't understand. You don't understand. And I said, what don't I understand? He said, Padre, the last time I went to confession, to Padre Pio. And I said, yes. Padre Pio died in 1968. When we at confession last? Ebbe, 1965. I said, 1965 was your last confession. Okay. And you haven't been since. Eh, no. Padre, you don't understand. Padre Pio. I said, no, I understand. Right? But if you go to confession to Padre Pio or the Pope himself, right, it makes very little difference who you go to confession to, because the absolution is always from God anyway. And the problem isn't who gives you absolution. The problem is our response to God's calling, our response to that promise that we make when we pray our act of sorrow to avoid the near occasions of sin and to not sin again. Has that happened since 1966 or 65? And he said, well, I'm only a man. And I said, exactly, sit down. Okay, so off we went. And this story comes back to me because at Easter, we're celebrating all that the Lord has done for us, you know, and it's a wonderful time, and it's a very important, very, very important liturgical season. It's the high point of the church's liturgical calendar. So what we remember here is the turning point of history. Like all of the Old Testament, all of history points to this moment. This is the moment when all grace has been made available to all of humanity for all time. That's a lot of alls, but that's the way it is. All grace required for all of humanity, right, for all time, was won there. So all the prayers we've ever made, all of the God help us prayers that we, even the short little prayers that we make like that, anytime we've asked God help me, anytime we've asked for grace at all, anytime you've received a sacrament, every one of you who's been baptized or confirmed, every time you've received Holy Communion, every time you've had your sins forgiven, received the last rites, been ordained or been married, sacramental grace of those sacraments, all of that grace was won on the cross. All of it. All of it. It's the only source, right? So this is where it all comes from. All grace comes from the Lord, and all that grace was won for us on the cross. So this is hugely, hugely important. But the issue isn't so much what did the Lord do or what did the Lord say or how did the Lord act or how did the Lord react, because he got all that right. He tends to get his side of things perfect. Okay? So all of the Lord's side is done perfectly. The question is, how do I respond? And that's the part that... That's where the game is won or lost. Because the question isn't, is there enough grace available? The question isn't, has the Lord done enough? The question isn't, is there grace available, or would the Lord give his grace to me? Of course he would. All of that is done. The question is, how do I respond? So that, like, the ball is back in my court. So when we attend Mass, when we receive the sacraments, when I find myself in difficulty or adversity, Where do I go? What do I do? Because, see, this is back to me. The question isn't, will the Lord help me, or can the Lord help me, or those answers are already sorted. The Lord has done his part. So back to me. How do I respond? How do I respond? I remember meeting a guy who was quite happy with the fact that he used to go to Lourdes every year, and he did a great job. He was very good at going to Lourdes. So the issue with this, though, was because he did his good thing every year, because he went to Lourdes every year, he felt kind of justified in as such taking the foot off the pedal once he came home from Lourdes. So I've gone to Lourdes, I've done my good thing for God, I've wheeled the wheelchairs around, and I have helped people get to the services and all that kind of thing. So, bet if you miss a mass every now and again on the Sunday, you know, what's the real problem? You know, if you don't go to confession, again, what's the real issue? If you don't pray so often, or, you know, if you're glad that all these other people pray and pray the rosary before mass, but you don't have to join those kind of things, you know. Why? Because you've been to Lourdes. Is it any wonder, like, that at times the Lord has to knock us right between the eyes to get our attention? You know, is it any wonder that, going back to the first story, Padre Pio had to eat the face off people on occasion to get them to wake up? Do you not realize what you're saying? Do you not realize what you're doing? Do you not realize what you're missing? Do you not realize that even if we get our side wrong, if we get our answer wrong, that's where our soul is put in danger. That's where our eternal salvation, heaven, is put in danger. The question isn't, does God want me to get to heaven? Because he already has paid the price for me to get to heaven. So all of his side, as always, is done. The question is, how do I respond? And this is where the game is won or lost. This is where my soul is won or lost, in my response. So, reducing my faith to having done a holy thing at one point, or having met a saint at one point, or all these things, these are all external, and they can be good. Please go to Lourdes, and please go to Padre Pio. It's a grave. Do all these things. Absolutely fantastic. If they stoke up the fire of faith, if they remind you of the Lord's love for you, fantastic. There is no problem with these things. The problem is with my response. So looking at all of the Easter ceremonies, and looking at all the Lord has done for me, how do I respond? And this is where we can suddenly get a bit passive. Especially for us men, we tend to sit on the fence a bit when it comes to faith related things, and just kind of, sure, look, we'll just see what everyone else does, and if everyone else is kind of genuflecting, sure, I might throw in a little genuflection as well. And kind of rather than being intentional, deciding, and acting with conviction. You know, when we apply this to everything else, I mean, you apply this to a football game. You apply this to work. You apply this, you know, in military strategy. Like, you don't wander out in the battlefield. Sure, we'll see how it goes. Sure, we'll see who's shooting at us, and we might shoot back. Will we? Sure, that's what we'll do. Sure, we'll have a look. Like, you go out with a plan, with a strategy. Where will the enemy be? Where do we have to be? Where's the high ground? Where's the low ground? Where's the boggy ground that we can force the enemy in there? And then, you know, what? You have a strategy. But it's decisive, right? You go out with decision. You go out with an intentionality. I'm deciding, Lord, this is what I need to do. This is what you've asked me to do. So this is what I'm going to do. And it doesn't matter if everyone around me is or isn't doing this. You've called me, I'm responding. You've given me the grace I need, I'm reacting. I'm working with that. And this is what makes saints. It's not singular, heroic events. It's not like the end of your life, you did something amazing and that's what makes you a saint. No, it's the daily, ordinary decisions. It's that regular prayer. It's that decision to go to Mass every Sunday. It's that decision to renounce, the numerous decisions to renounce anything that takes me away from the Lord. If it's my phone, or if it's an addiction, or if it's a bad company, or whatever it is, it's these ordinary, daily decisions that form our hearts into the hearts of saints. Not just singular heroic events. Now, the heroic events come afterwards, like when a person has been canonized, they must have heroic virtue. And the heroic virtue can be dying a martyrdom, for example, offering your life for Christ in some way. But that tends to be not the way you and I live. You know, it's unlikely any of us are going to be lined up against a wall after Mass there and asked, are you Christian? And if you are, you'll be shot. That's unlikely to happen today. Tomorrow, you never know. But today, it's unlikely. So our heroic events, our heroic actions aren't like that. They're not grandiose, huge enormous sacrifices, self-sacrifices. That's not the way it tends to go for us. It's ordinary. It's daily. But it's intentional. I'm deciding. Lord, you have loved me on the cross until death. And so I am answering your love with my love. I'm answering the sacrifice of your life with the sacrifice of maybe, as I say, daily habits that aren't drawing me to you. Daily. I'm answering the life of the Spirit that I have, the life of the Spirit that I've been given, the Holy Spirit that was given to me in baptism, and those gifts deepened and confirmed in confirmation. I'm answering his call to whatever you're being called to today. I'm answering that, but intentionally. Do I need to pray more? Yes. Good. Where and when and what? Where are you going to pray? When are you going to pray? And what are you going to pray? Because if you feel, yes, I should pray more, sure, look, we'll see how it goes. We'll see if the day just allows me to pray more. What's going to happen? The same thing that happened yesterday. You're not going to pray more unless you decide. You're not going to be more pure unless you decide. You're not going to be suddenly more forgiving, more loving, more joyful unless you decide and work with the grace of God. So I think we need to be far more consequential, far more intentional in our faith. Lord, what are you asking of me? And help me to do that today, to respond to all of the grace available to me with an open heart, with a giving heart, with a loving heart, with a heart that knows that whatever we give you, Lord, you will give us in return 100-fold. That's a good investment by any reckoning. So what is the Lord asking of us? And let's do it. What has the Lord made available to me that I need? Let's start using that grace. What are we waiting for? This struggle or this interior battle, it does last a lifetime. It does. I'm what, almost 45 now. I thought this would be getting a little easier by now. It's not. It's still exactly as it was when I entered seminary, if I'm honest. Just the daily decisions, the daily yeses, the daily I'm sorry, Lords, the daily struggle. It's every single day. But it's good. It's good. It's a good struggle because we're struggling for the right things. Would we not struggle to create a happy family at home? Would we not struggle to even ridiculous things like, you know, or maybe less important things like struggling to get that bonus or that promotion at work? And, you know, we put in a little more effort constantly. Do we not struggle to look fit or run marathons or all those things that the young people today do? Do we not struggle for those kind of things? We do, daily. Well, can we not struggle for something of the greatest importance? Of the greatest importance. To respond to the Lord with an intentional, loving heart. To do what he's asking us to do. And to do it today. To respond to his love with ours. If we miss that point, that the celebration of Easter and all that grace available is lost on us. They're nice liturgical events, but they don't change us. So we're still in the season of Easter. We're still in the season where the Lord has shown his immense, divine, and eternal love to each one of us. And now it just begs that question. How do you respond? St. Peter had the occasion, on the threefold occasion, to respond to the Lord's love with his own. Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? You know that I love you, Lord. You know that I love you. So, dear brothers and sisters, let's get back to basics. Let's get back to getting today right, to responding to the Lord's grace, responding to the Lord's love with mine, forgiving those who need to be forgiven, loving those around us. If there's something that I know the Lord is calling me to do, to love someone or to express that love towards someone, to humble myself before someone who I know I've been arrogant towards, to choose purity, to choose self-control, to choose whatever we're struggling with, to choose virtue. Let's do that today through the grace of God, that grace won for us on the cross. Amen. Just one word there as well. We have a retreat coming up for women here. It's called Cherished, and it's a beautiful retreat for women. The talks will be given by very, very good speakers on some wonderful topics: becoming rooted in Christ, my sacramental identity; staying rooted in Christ, the battle of the mind and heart, an absolute minefield for a woman. I shouldn't joke. And living rooted in Christ, Our Lady as our guide. And then being witnesses to being rooted in Christ. His joy is my strength. So these are the topics of the talk of the retreat. So it's on from April 26th to 28th. So if you'd like to attend, I would strongly, strongly recommend it. It'll be very, very good. You can contact us here, info@holyfamilymission.ie, and it's only €220 for the weekend. So you'd be very welcome.